It looks like there's a halo behind me.
And I know. My video looks better. Horrible lighting situation. Oh, your actual video looks better.
My actual video looks better. It still looks like there's like a ray of light back there. But this is as close as I could get to the Wi-Fi without sitting inside of an actual closet.
Oh, positive.
So that's what's happening. Oh, are you ready, love? Why don't you kick us off today?
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Overshare, the podcast. I'm Lily, and I'm here with Jocelyn, remotely, of course. Where are you?
I'm in Arizona right now, we're not together. I'm in Arizona right now you know when you hear people talk about, like, I'm in a mahogany library filled with leather-bound books? Like, honestly, that's kind of like...
Not particularly.
That's kind of like what I feel as though I'm in. House where we had our wedding reception.
Yes.
Which... Chris's parents used to live in this house. They built like their dream house years ago. And then they were like, there's only two of us. What the heck are we doing in this house?
So they don't live there?
They don't live here. They rent it out. And this is like the most popular Airbnb in all of Scottsdale.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why we never stay here. It's because this is rented
out. Are you paying for it or...
No, we probably could not afford it.
It was just an empty weekend.
Yeah. No, it's empty right now. It's usually booked literally every single day of the year. Even when we had our wedding reception here, we had to like black out the dates like months in advance.
Oh, gosh.
Chris's stepdad has gotten super into the vacation rental world.
Well, I know when I stayed in that cool Airbnb that was in the same neighborhood, he came by to check it out, to scope out the competition.
He wants to scope out the scene. How are you? You're in a new location. Speaking of new locations, it looks like you're in an alternate universe as well.
An alternate universe, huh? I am in my office because I tried to set up I moved my desk from a different wall and I tried to set it up so then I could have everything just permanently here and I could just be like, record. Well, I spent an hour before we started this setting up and still recording the same way that I always do pretty much. But
you look fantastic. You look like you have a beauty filter on yourself. And I'm glad that you're back because last week I recorded without you and it just did not feel the same.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I got a couple messages. It's like, you weren't even in this week. So I was like, oh, yeah, about that. I went on a little road trip where if you guys know what Black Box TV is, Tony, who does Black Box, he's a genius. He just does a bunch of things. But he works for this VR app called Skidoo. And they wanted to do a VR show where they flew me to Portland and we went to a bunch of movie locations. And it was super fun. But it was 3 days and 750 miles in the car. And if you're familiar with my back situation, sitting in the car isn't the best of things. So I wasn't driving, so it wasn't as bad and I can move around. And they were like very lax that like if I needed to pull over something for a little stretch that it was fine. But let's just say everything was pretty good. The last day was kind of rough. And then I got back and it just was like, oh, what have you done?
Yeah. And like your body's rejecting you.
I just 2 days like couldn't move.
Well, I'm glad that you are back and it looks like you are feeling better.
Yeah, I've been going on. Well, so my neighbors, shocking, have been, I don't even know what I'm looking at because it's just as much the ones below me now too. I think they have joined forces and are tag-teaming
to get me to move out. They're trying to sandwich
you out. I don't know why
they
want me to leave though. I'm the quiet one and I don't even complain anymore. but Max has been so anxious and literally like we come in from going out in the morning and he just shakes for like hours and I feel so bad for him. So we've been going on a lot of walks. And that's been making me feel better.
Oh my gosh. I love that for you. I love that you're getting outside and outdoorsy.
Because it's cold.
Well, it's like, it's nice though. I feel it's brisk.
It's finally the fall in mid-November. And by fall, I mean it's like 55, 60.
And then other days like 97 degrees.
Yeah, seriously.
Lil, do you want to jump into our over it?
Yeah.
So, over it.
What she said.
Okay. So, as we're recording this podcast. It is 1 week post-election. So I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling like lighthearted. I feel like a burden has been lifted off of me. There's not a lot that I'm over right now. I'm trying to like focus on positivity.
It's funny because when you started that, you were like, it's a week. This is our Thanksgiving episode. And I thought you were going to say it's a week before Thanksgiving. And I was like, is it? Oh my goodness. I'm like, no, it's like 2 weeks. When is Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving is, I think, November 26th. Right? It's November 25th or November 26th. It's always like one of the last Thursdays or the last Thursday of November.
Isn't it the last
Thursday of November? Yeah, like Melissa just threw
consistently.
Up.
Consistently.
But yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up really, really soon. And I feel like we do have some things to be thankful for.
Yeah, and also however, it's gonna be a little awkward because of what you just said with the election. My life, I think I am not. See, the people in my life aren't necessarily very outspoken about things, so I don't necessarily know how they feel until I say something and then they react. And I was like, oh.
This is weird.
I feel like that happens to me consistently with friends and family. And I'm like, oh, this is incredibly awkward. Bye. So how are your family? I feel like it's all on the same page.
Yeah,
my
mom, my family is very open about like probably too open and shares too much with each other just in general. That being said, my mom is kind of not like stringent or annoying about it, but she always has been like, that's not table talk. That's not table talk. We don't talk about that at the table, whatever. So for me growing up, I never really stressed out about like anxious, political, religious, whatever conversations at the dinner table, especially on holidays. Cause like my mom kind of put the kibosh on stuff like that. But also, you know, I'm grateful like me and my family, like all are on the same page, you know what I mean?
So. I haven't usually had, I mean, I guess more in like the last 4 years stuff has come up, but like, I think in general, I've never had politics be a thing because I am not a super political person. And I still don't think I am a super political person. And I think that's where it gets weird this year. It's like, what have you been up to? And it's like, how do you talk about this year without referencing certain things that then are going to.
Yeah. You know, I've actually tweeted about this even before this year, but I feel like this year is the time to do it. I love the art of distraction. So if you feel like you're not going to have a conversation that is productive, if it's just going to turn into like a freaking New Jersey housewife table flipping moment with Teresa where like plates are flying, then I recommend coming up with a handful of topics to distract your family members. Maybe things like, you always see those jokes where they're like, I'm pregnant. Like, it's like a teenager and they're like, just kidding, I'm not, but I did fail ninth grade. You know, like, try to come up with something. But you can also, you know, be like, oh my gosh, like, get a list of like weird random facts. Did you know humans can live on the moon now? And then just start like listing off a bunch of weird stuff that just like distracts everyone. And then all you have to do is last 2 hours or 90 minutes. And then it's polite kick rocks.
And it's also interesting because it 100% depends on who I sit next to.
Pick the kids.
I don't
pick the kids. You don't pick.
There's place settings. There are the kids. They're older now, though, so I don't know how that's going to be. But it's like, usually they will ask for me to sit next to them. I don't think I did last year. But like, if I can sit by the kids, great. Absolutely. But even then, I'm like afraid that I'm then going to say something like, someone will say something and I'll be like, make a Trump joke. I don't know. I just feel like I'm so used to living on Twitter these days where I'm very open about how stupid everything is and might not be as welcome when it's not on Twitter.
Yeah, which is interesting because my over it for today was that I think I'm just over the Thanksgiving holiday. I think we need to skip straight to like the Christmas
holidays. I love the concept of being grateful and thankful. And there are things that I'm very aggressively grateful for right
but
now.
But then it also
but
kind
as
of,
for the holiday of it.
Yeah, well, that's the... It doesn't really align with what we're celebrating. I feel like what we're celebrating, you could lump into like the holidays with Christmas and like just the time of the year to be with your family and be happy and everything. But it's like, if you really look at the Thanksgiving holiday.
Exactly. 1,000%.
And the food is not good.
Also, thank you for saying
that. I do enjoy
some
of it. And I think it's nice to have once in a while. But like, if I missed it.
Yeah, I think all of us have lied to ourselves and been talking ourselves into our entire lives that like turkey dinner is the pinnacle. It's not. It's not.
Well,
the pinnacle.
Not to mention,
I don't care who you are.
I'm a 5-year old. So, like, if I could pick the menu, oh my God, it'd be like
also
mashed potatoes, creamed corn, everything would be like neutral colors, no green, no.
Anyways, I'm over Thanksgiving. I think that we should just skip ahead to 2021. I think we should try to celebrate the concept of being grateful and thankful every single day. And maybe more so in this moment in time. But I just, Black Friday also can die. I'm not into that.
I don't mind it.
Lil, what are you over?
Something that came up this morning on Twitter, which I may have been over this in the past. It's not a new thing, but that people get mad when they find out that I'm following Trump.
Yes, but I saw this conversation because I think they think that that means you're in support.
If you went through my follow list, you would very much see that the people I follow are not necessarily the people that I'm like, oh my God, these are my heroes. Like, I wasn't aware that you only could follow people on social media that you're obsessed with. Like, no one hate follows people or is just like curious and like uses it for entertainment.
That's why people probably that are maybe saying these things to you probably have like Finstas or fake Twitter accounts.
Yeah, and that's like way too much
people.
Work and I don't want to deal with that.
It's a lot of work.
But especially, and that applies to like, I follow other people that, first of all, I think it's that I don't unfollow people. That like, it would take a lot for me to unfollow someone. They would have to be so fucking annoying that I would have to be like, if I see one more of these, I'm going to explode. No, thank you. Otherwise, I just keep scrolling and just don't really think about it. With Trump, I feel like it's not like the concept of following the president, regardless of whether you like him or not, is not weird to me.
Yeah. And I think you are also someone who's very active on Twitter. Like, I'll be honest with you. I have not been very active on Twitter, like probably for like the last year. Just in general, I get all my news from Twitter, but then I forget to tweet. I'll be totally real. I get so consumed with like opening like 75 links on my desktop from Twitter that I forget that I even should.
See, that's I think it's because I've been on my computer less and I've been on my phone more. So if I'm on my phone, I'm
Makes
on Twitter.
Sense.
But just basically, so I'm over people getting mad at that. And then even someone responded today and were like, oh, you should follow. There's this account. And it's like, I think I follow it too. It's called like Unfollow Trump. And it reposts everything that he posts so you can still see it without giving him the follow. And I'm like, I get that he thrives off attention and his ego, but like, I'm not subscribing to this. Like, oh, I'm not going to follow to support. No, I'm not supporting him. I'm literally following him so I can quote tweet his tweets and show how absurd they are.
And I think it's a good way to follow the news because
that's my point. Like, I follow random people that I don't really like, but in terms of and that you could argue is weird, but the president, I'm like, I want to know what's going on. And I feel like the algorithm
Absolutely.
Doesn't necessarily show me the tweets of the other account as much. Like, I don't ever
and
miss
also,
a Trump tweet.
No. And for that matter, like almost all of his tweets at this point are getting shut down. So, I mean, gosh, what a strange time we're living in. And I know that everyone says that every generation, but I feel like
speaking of Twitter, I saw a tweet the other day that was like, oh, I can't wait till I have kids. The amount of like back in my day stories that I already have logged are just endless.
I know we need to make a time capsule of 2020. It's so funny. I was actually thinking
we need to do that. Let's not remember it. Let's keep it in the past.
I was actually thinking how stupid I was. Like back in April, I was like, I think I even DM'd this to you or texted you being like, we should make videos that are like messages to ourselves of like, dear Jocelyn, don't forget what quarantine was like and what COVID was like. Because I was thinking in my head, I was thinking at that point in April, this is going to be just 3 weeks. And someday I won't remember it.
See, now I'm always like, kind of gonna be felt like it was
5 years. We're going to remember because it's going to be in the historical books. Okay.
I have a TikTok that I did back when I was like still mentally in a better place and making TikToks for fun. But it's literally like, what if they never let us out? What if they're just like, whoops, we can't fix it? You're stuck inside forever. Now. And I'm like, that was 8 months ago.
I know, it's so weird. But I am excited that we are going to be talking today about things that we are grateful for, because I think being grateful on a day-to-day basis, even for stupid things like French fries or whatever, helps your own personal mental wellness. But before we jump into that, we have to take a call. Ooh. Because we have callers now. I'm so excited about this. It's not like it's I'm not getting used to it, I guess.
Hi, Jocelyn. Hi, Lily. So if we're talking about what we're over, so this week I'm currently over just rules and regulations in general, just limits, I guess, you know. I mean, I'm a student at the university, right? And I met this guy on Grindr, and he's super cute, a little older, but I like him older, and we were talking about getting together, and then I find out he's going to be a professor at my school. So now he's like, I can't fuck you because you're a student. So, and I checked, and it's true. Even though my major has nothing to do with what he's teaching, it would be completely consensual. And I also just want to like tell people I fucked a professor, but now I can't because of student fucking rules. So that's why I'm over. I'm just not getting my nut, period. So I'm a hoe in college. Peace and love. Love your show. Over it. Bye.
He didn't even give us his name. This mystery.
Oh my gosh. Well, what do you say we call him Antonio? Because I feel like that's a really sexy name. That is someone who would hook up with their professor. Antonio, I got to tell you, inspire me to be a more adventurous person. And I feel like you are living like a living version of a Gossip Girl episode. Right?
Where they're all literally like 30 when they're 15. No, I'm back to the rules and regulations. I agree that there shouldn't be an issue if he's not gonna, I guess he can't guarantee that you don't like switch majors and then he becomes your professor. So there, but like, it feels like a leap.
I get it. And can't you can't you guys both just say we didn't know?
Yeah, like does he really like...
We didn't discuss our
job. Would he lose his job if the school found out, even if the kid wasn't in any of his classes?
But it's forbidden. That makes it even hotter.
Our producer's nodding.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Lily, what would you do if like the hottest zaddy of all time?
Well, first of all, I can't imagine having a hot professor because I've never even remotely had one.
Really?
No. They're all like older.
Oh, what a sad tale.
Yeah, not even a little bit. I don't know. That's
not even like a hot teacher. Did you ever have a hot teacher?
No.
Oh my gosh, you got to go back to school.
Now would be great because I thought I would be their age too. But I don't know. I think it doesn't seem like it's what I would do. It's up to the teacher. They're the one that has something to lose.
That's so true because they're not going to kick him out of school, probably, right? But I feel like more so it would go against the code of ethics for the professor. Why don't you guys just develop a friends with benefits relationship?
I don't think that helps. You know,
like friends that hold hands.
I don't think it's like you can't have a relationship with a student, but you can fuck them.
Gosh, I feel like this is so Romeo and Romeo. I was going to say Romeo and Juliet, but this is like having it be forbidden makes it even more attractive.
And how long were you talking to? Like, I have a lot of follow-up questions that we're not going to get answers to.
But here's my thought in general, because I always told my sister when we were dating, my main dating advice when these situations was that as a rule of thumb, and I know this is crass, you should never shit where you eat, right? So like when we worked in a big work environment, my thought was always, not that we would have ever dated any of our coworkers, really.
But wish that would have happened. Wasn't even an option.
But I just think that unless you're prepared to like have this person be the love of your life, you should probably just go search somewhere else. So my advice to Antonio is this: get together with Mr. Grindr, Professor Grindr. And if you guys immediately discover that you are the loves of each other's lives, freaking figure it out. If not,
I think the professor already put the kibosh on it. That's
so unfortunate.
I'm over that for you too.
I am as that's well. Like, maybe you should transfer.
Every time I meet someone and they're not a professor, but they're like, you know, in a relationship.
I'm so sad, Lily, that you never had a hot professor.
Did you?
Absolutely. TAs, like hot TAs. And you know, I was an English major. Class.
I'm like, what did the TAs look like?
I was also an English major. So, you know, they were all wearing like cozy sweaters and scarves and like tiny glasses. Like, have you ever looked at the Instagram account Hot Dudes Reading?
Yeah.
They were all hot dudes reading.
And there's no hot dudes reading at ASU.
That's probably true. And like, you know, they were very smart and witty. And I always loved nerds, and nerds never loved me ever. And so it was just like very exciting for me to have little schoolgirl crushes.
I'm thinking to myself, like, why? Like, I feel like nerds always love me. You, because you are a lot. And I feel like a nerd would be like super shy. You'd be like, oh my God, tell me everything about you. Hi. Woo.
But then as it turned out, you know, everything came full circle because Chris is truly so nerdy. Like the stuff
he's like a jock turned nerd though.
Have you ever I guess kind of like a hybrid growing up, but like more nerdy than everything. Like it took me literally 5 years to find out that he had a full academic scholarship.
That's the thing though. He's not like outwardly nerdy. He's secret nerdy. No. Which is the best.
Yeah, he'll be like, he's like, have you ever looked online for microscopic images of tiny organisms? And did you know that they can hold hands? I'm like, first off, you lost me at microscope. I've never Googled anything with microscope.
The makeup artist in Oregon, they were telling me things.
You had a makeup artist?
Well, I mean, I mostly did my makeup and they mostly took my picture, but... it was like a personal photographer. It was great. But they are very passionate about jellyfish. And we saw one on the beach. Literally, the amount of facts that I was like, how do you know all this? This is absurd. I don't know anything about... apparently, people do research when they're born. And I do, too. But not on, like, specific facts. I feel like mine, it's, like, vague research that then I don't even know how to tell someone else.
Last thing I'll say about my nerdy husband is that he got his scuba diving license when he was 10 years old because he dreamt of being a marine biologist and all he wanted to do was visit the sea creatures. And when we went scuba diving on our honeymoon,
he's from Arizona. Where did he even get scuba certified?
At some swimming pool here for like 2 or 3
and
months.
And then where was he going to go scuba diving?
I don't know. His dad took him to probably some like dangerous places around the world. He scuba dove, whatever the tense is, a lot. And we went on our honeymoon and I fully regret it. It was like one of the most stressful experiences of my life. Because I got scuba certified in 25 minutes. You think that's a good idea? It's
not.
Doesn't
sound particularly safe.
And as we were jumping in, they were like, hey, remember not to do this or you'll die. And then I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It was terrifying.
That was like when I went, I didn't actually go in, but shark diving. and it ended up being like the water was too choppy and no one ended up really going in. But they're like on the way out, it was like, if you're not like a super, super confident swimmer, maybe today's not your day. And it was so many like,
and everyone's like throwing up and, and barfing because it was so crazy.
But it was so many like, yeah, if a shark comes, like just use this pole and just like knock it away. It was, I know.
I feel like not today, Satan. Yeah. No, thank you. All right, Lil, before we jump into our over it, or before we jump into the rest of the show, I feel I gotta let people know.
I feel like the whole show has happened already. Before we jump into
our over it, I wanted to remind our listeners that they got to call in and be a part of the show, just like Antonio did. I love what he shared. Please call us 562-661-8729 and leave us a voicemail 3 minutes or less of what you're over. And we will just like feel your pain.
And also, this let us know your name unless you want us to make up one like Antonio.
Yeah. I mean, I also love making up names, so I'm fine with it.
Oh my God.
All right, Lil, let's jump into the rest of the show. We're going to be talking about what we're thankful for, even though I've already claimed that I'm canceling Thanksgiving. I do think, and do you agree with me? Okay. I know I'm a very optimistic person by nature, but this year, yes, I'm very optimistic by nature, but this year it's honestly had to become more of a choice for me because things have been bleak
a little bit. Good word.
But I do find it to be a good practice to think of things that you're grateful for. And I think people get overwhelmed. Like, I'm not, you know, buying a mansion or, you know, getting my dream job or whatever, but just like little things to be thankful for. What would you say, like, in reflecting on this whole year so far? Like,
I mean, I think
are there things you're grateful
for?
Yeah,
I've said this before, but I'm so grateful. And it's become even more prominent because I feel like it's just been going on longer, but with my back and not being able to consistently do things, or like 1 week I'm fine and then 1 week I can't do anything. And it's hard to make plans and hard to commit to things and hard to work consistently, that I'm so grateful that I do have the flexibility to like not do anything for a few days if I need to, because I can get a brand deal or I can upload a video or I have ways to make money if I need to. But that there's so many people, if I had a 9-to-5 like retail, I absolutely couldn't be doing that right now. Like, I would have to be collecting unemployment / disability / I don't even know if that all has probably gotten more complicated with COVID too. So seeing that people are losing their jobs and not being able to see their families and stuff, and I'm sitting here like able to just like kind of use it as a relaxing period sometimes, which, I mean, it hasn't been particularly relaxing because of everything going on personally and in the world. But I would just say grateful for the position that I'm in, that I can be comfortable and put my health first and not have to be worried that I'm like not going to be able to make my 9-hour shift the next day.
Yeah, it's crazy. One of the things that I actually wrote down as a potential over it for an episode is just the healthcare system in general.
Making appointments, getting diagnosed with things, having to be your own advocate is such an exhausting thing that I am grateful also that I have people like even Jocelyn's husband's brother, Jocelyn's brother-in-law, had reached out with a friend. And I actually, this reminds me that I need to email him, but had connected me with a friend that's a doctor that is just out of the goodness of his heart is willing to consult and like point me in the direction that he thinks that I need to go. So being able to have just help when you're dealing with the healthcare system, because otherwise I'm guilty of doing the same thing, that you just kind of give up. And
absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I think for me, just being an outsider in your situation, and like, I have no understanding of what it's like to have chronic pain at all. I think all of us take for granted our health, myself included. When I get the flu, I'm like, I'm gonna die. This is horrible.
That's the only, the best way I can describe it is, you know, when you have the flu and you're like, I would appreciate being healthy so much more. That times a fucking million. I'm like, I'll go fucking run a do you want to walk across the country? I'll do it. Just let my back feel better.
Exactly. And the other thing I've even thought of a lot is how expensive things are. Like, not just you have to keep working to, like, you know, have your basics, but also like medical care and health insurance.
And like the stuff that insurance then doesn't
cover. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking too. Like, oh, we'd like to give you this test, but it's out of network. It's everything is out of network. They're like, it's going to be $6,000. It's like, what?
When I was even just explaining, crazy. I don't know the details around this, so don't quote me, but with my chiropractor, who does not take insurance because most chiropractors don't, because they're like not real doctors. And I'm like, well, the real doctors wouldn't fucking do anything. And he actually did. So, but that he had told me something about there aren't, like, you can't order a full spine x-ray anymore. I don't know if it's like a medical board or what, who made it so you can't.
Is it because the spine is too big and it won't fit in one picture?
Well, and so he used to have like these full, like, giant x-ray films. And now he's like, I have to order all, like, because when you go to get an MRI, which I did before I ever saw him, it was like, well, what part of your back do you want scanned? It's your cervical spine, your thoracic spine, or your lumbar spine. And it's like,
I want,
well, I mean,
it,
my
please.
Neck hurts. So my neck, but like, I find out from my chiropractor, who then later does an x-ray of all three sections and then pieces them together himself.
I saw that. He had all of them together.
Yeah,
it was
so
crazy.
Like, okay, what the hell? Like, you were making me pick, but then there's a very, like, the fact that lower back pain can be directly attributed to why you're having neck pain. Why would I only get the neck x-rayed? I don't even need the neck I should have just got my lower back x-rayed.
But you would have never known that if you hadn't gone to the chiropractor, which you probably spent $2 million on at this point.
Last year alone on chiropractor, acupuncture / like random back tools / my Rolfing massages too, $15,000 at least.
That's wild. We need to go back to become chiropractors. This show is now a chiropractor show where Lily and I give
truly
chiropractic advice.
When you look, though, into chiropractors and spine people and anyone that does back stuff, typically they weren't originally a chiropractor. They didn't like grow up wanting to be that. They had a back problem that then they got fixed, that they were like, I need to help other people, because it's unreal how many people also back pain in particular. I think people just deal with and assume that they have a bad back. But I'm like, I think that I'm sure there are situations where it's not something you could fix. But I think there's so many situations that people aren't aligned properly and just are used to it. And it's never going to get bad enough that they actually go get help. But the symptoms that I've had connected to my back that don't feel like they would be back related, I'm like, does everyone know this? Like,
yeah, it's crazy. And I'm just glad, like, I think to piggyback on what you're saying about your situation of that you have a job where you can keep working, like, just being able to work in general, I feel like right now is such a big deal.
But I think at the end of the day, yeah, grateful for being able to work, and then work / not work when I need to. And then grateful for people like you who understand that I'm not purposely trying to not be a person.
No, absolutely not. And someday in 10 years, we'll look back on this time and we'll be even more grateful at that point in time.
Remember that time when you couldn't do anything?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I think,
so
like,
what are
I
you
said,
grateful for?
I don't think you need, I don't think that you need a Thanksgiving holiday to be grateful. I really do think, and it makes me sound like so cheesy, so Pinterest, whatever. But for those of you guys listening, for reals, this is like real advice, okay, from my limited life experience. Living a life of gratitude will make your life better. Like, it will not make your life worse. That doesn't mean you have to turn a blind eye to like what's going on in the world and like, you know, not be like trying to make change and whatnot. But I think looking for little things to be grateful for every day, the little things, they all add up. Like, the little things are the big things, because it's so infrequent in life that you like get something cool, like a new computer or a new house or a new relationship. Like, you have to be grateful for like your favorite nail polish. I'm holding it up right now. But when I think about like this year, it's been hard. I think I'm not Pollyanna. Like, I really like, I realize that if it's hard for me, who's a naturally positive person, it's really got to be hard for people who are struggling with optimism in general or gratefulness. But the thing I'm most grateful for is that this year forced me into a completely different lifestyle than I've ever had in my entire life. And I have never in my life, like not just as an adult, but growing up, I have never had this much free time, downtime. And in the last 15 years, I've never been home this much. And so I think there's a lot of good things that came from just calming the F down and having time to do things that I had always put on the back burner because I never had time. And it was never an excuse. I was just choosing to fill my time with other things. So like, finishing projects that I said I wanted to do at my house, learning new skills, like becoming more educated in topics that I was curious about but never had time for, or just like starting my day throughout all of COVID. I wake up every day and before I look at my phone, I spend time with myself. I know that sounds really weird, but like reading or, you know, just literally having some alone time before I jump into the garbage fire that this year has become. I just give myself like a hot minute. Literally, it might just be a minute, but that's a habit that I hope to extend after COVID that I would have never done if I'd been living my normal crazy lifestyle. So I'm really, really grateful for this forced switch that I've had, even though, I mean, there's been many days where I'm just like on the verge of like, get me out of this house. I'm losing my mind. Like, I want to go somewhere. I want to do something.
Because as someone like me that doesn't mind being home most of the time, I would say that even I'm getting stir crazy sometimes, or I won't realize it. And then I do hang out with someone and I come back and I'm like, wow, I feel so much more energized. I'm like, well, I should talk to people more often.
100%. And I think the other thing is it makes you, this time has made me like realize what relationships I want to invest in and continue on with, and what people I miss, and what people, like what friendships are like, you know, doing something good in my life, and what maybe other relationships are bringing me nothing.
I'm currently, you know, also what I mean? Feel like I'm like trying to figure out, I've spent so long work, like feel like the time we're at Clever, we talk about this, feels like it's a weird like time warp of like 1 or 2 years that took place actually over 7, and yeah, also feels like it was like a decade ago, but also like it was yesterday, and
right,
it, all confusing. But that I feel like I was doing so many things for other people for so long that I'm still like transitioning into like
what I do feel I
like
want?
I feel like I should be doing something at all times instead of being like, what do you need to do? And like, I, even when I'm stressing myself out and panicking to do things, I'm not usually actually accomplishing things. I would be getting a lot more done if I was actually relaxed and like could like take a step back and figure out what I need to do. But I don't know. I just think that like, you know, other countries always say that like America is like you work to live and everywhere else it's, or we live to work. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But everyone works here. Like we go to Italy and there's just people having lunch with their glass of wine in for 3 hours and no one thinks that's weird and is like, you're not at work. What are you doing? That I think now this time has kind of gotten us all on flexible schedules where it's like, oh, well, I mean, what do I want to do right now? And I think, so basically I'm kind of trying to figure out what I actually like doing. And because even if I enjoyed things I did before, it wasn't necessarily my choice to do them.
Exactly.
Like, like all of our old episodes of stuff where it's like, yeah, we did fun things, but I probably wouldn't have chosen those. I would have chosen something else. But so now I'm trying to figure out what I would want to do. And like not being able to plan ahead, I think, is a huge thing with this whole quarantine and COVID. Is that's what makes everyone feel so hopeless. It's like, well, like it doesn't feel for me like it's going to be forever, but it's just like the indefiniteness of it is kind of hard to grapple with. So I think being able to kind of figure out things that I enjoy that I don't need other people to do, like this is the perfect time to do those. So,
yeah. And I think even living through, you know, this pandemic has even like put a bigger microscope or like a bigger spotlight on all the things I take for granted on a daily basis, all the privileges I have of the A, that I'm able to work, that I can work, that I have a home, like basic things that people are really struggling with right now that maybe I wouldn't have thought about as seriously as I have throughout this time. Just being able to have access to medical care and having people in my life that support me. And I mean, I don't know, there, I could go honestly on and on, but then I'm also just grateful for like quesadillas.
Yeah, you know, that's, I'm grateful for In-N-Out keeping me nourished and grateful for my dog for keeping me sane sometimes when
I'm grateful for access to plentiful boxed wine. You know, like I'm
grateful
keep it
for
real.
All my sweats.
And I think that it's like really it's been hard, and it's really hard, I think, to get not distracted by all of the horrible things. And sometimes we talked a lot about this with Megan Mattoon on her podcast about like mindset and how powerful it is, and how I think the brain is the most powerful thing. And I easily get distracted. And like when I'm in my car is the worst time, where I'm like, I'll be driving and I'll get into like a virtual fight with someone in my mind. Do you ever do that? Like where you get into like arguments that you win? Like, oh, I do that all the time, where I like rethink conversations I've had in the past with like nemeses of mine. And then I like in my own, like I'm talking to myself, by the way. And do you not relate with
so
that?
So Jocelyn's gone insane, everyone. Yes.
No, I feel like other people relate to it. I do. I feel like all the fights and all the battles I feel like I've lost in my life, I'm always winning in my car when I'm talking to myself. I talk to myself a lot now.
See, that's, I, no.
You don't?
No, I feel like I'm actually weirdly quiet, probably.
Oh my gosh, I talk to myself enough for both of us. Melissa, just nod if you talk to yourself. She talks to herself too. Okay, I'm not
See,
alone.
That, I think I'm having like internal thoughts, but like not out loud.
Oh, very
I,
much
I guess
out
I
loud.
Talk to Max very a much. Lot out loud. Yeah.
See, that's nice. I don't have a dog and Chris is working a lot. So I just talk to Jocelyn 2.0. I have problems.
Oh,
anyways,
my God.
Lil, yes, I think we've gotten to the point of the year where I am losing it. But we do have a lot to be grateful for. And I'm grateful for you too, and our friendship.
Same.
And that we can work together and keep making content. And I'm very, very
grateful.
I'm grateful
for Melissa.
That
our
is like literally what I was going to say.
Silently watching us right now, because this podcast wouldn't exist.
Would not exist. No. And we have done 20 episodes now of this show. And I just want anyone who's listening to find Melissa and show her some love, because she makes this show possible and many other hit podcasts possible. Hits. She's serving up the hits, people. And she puts up with us and all of my technological
issues. Even when we lose shit and do things wrong. So
I know. So shout out to Melissa, the true winner. Yes. Well, Lil, I feel like we're on a really big upkick right now. It's time to wrap up the show. And I think let's just keep with the positive train.
So long, farewell. I hate us so much more now.
What's your farewell this week?
I feel like it should be, I mean, it's not the most positive, but like it brought me a lot of joy. What I already showed you guys is Chris Cuomo.
Oh my gosh, in general,
I think is what brought me joy. But we'll put the links to these in the show notes. But it's basically two different interviews with Chris Cuomo doing the same kind of tactic both times and saying, hypothetically, if the president came out and said he said something because he was a racist, like if hypothetically he said that, he asks then the White House chief or press secretary, Kaylee, and then also, I don't know who the first guy was that I sent you, who's a senator somewhere, I think, but basically asked them flat out, hypothetically, if the president did say he was a racist, what would you do? And neither of them can answer. And they just keep deflecting. And it's so cringy and painful to watch, but also brings me so much joy because it's like, oh, showing your true colors.
Chris Cuomo is a national treasure. He's a national treasure. He really, really is. And we, you know, I would say, you know, the common phrase, people are like, he's a national treasure. We don't deserve him. But like, what would we do without him? And he just, him and his brother fighting on TV, I just love. They're so cute.
I think the world needs more people like him who are in a position that they're interviewing all of these people and like putting them on the spot and asking them things that are going to be uncomfortable and show how uncomfortable they get.
And not letting people off the hook. Because what I like about those interviews is that he asks a very simple question. And he's like, you're not answering. It's an easy question. Just answer the question.
I don't know who did this one, but did you see the other one I reposted? And it has brought me just endless laughs every time I watch it. But it's, I don't even know if it's like, maybe it's MSNBC. I don't know. They're interviewing this guy and he is claiming he thinks that you need to be sworn into office for anything that you need to swear on the Bible. And he doesn't know that that's like the law isn't that it needs to be a Christian Bible. It's just like you need to swear on something you can swear.
Right. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The look that basically the reporter tells him, he's like, no, but like, you don't have to do that. That's not the law. And the guy goes, no, I've done it three times. I've sworn on the Bible. Donald Trump did it. And he goes, yeah, because Donald Trump chose the Bible because
right.
That's
you don't
what
have to choose that.
Yeah. The look on this guy's face when it registers that like he had no idea that that was not the case. He thought you had to do it on a Christian Bible, even though like how would you think that the government, church and state doesn't make sense. But the look on his face, Jocelyn, and everyone watching, go find this. It'll be in the show notes as well. It's a cartoon character. I've never seen this.
Wait, is that the guy? That's the guy who was just like this.
He just does this like little double blink and like, huh? And it's just the most absurd thing you've ever seen because he's an elected official that not only didn't know that, but then he's that like dumbfounded. But
yeah, it's interesting.
Just have
I feel
common
like
sense.
You and I should move somewhere and run for Senate. I think we could win. Like what state could we move to?
I don't know if we could. Maybe that's the people that are getting voted for.
I don't know. I feel like on the contrary, we might have enough
hands. Oh, God. But yeah, so those, I think that and also a Fox News cut off Kaylee the other day really quick. I think just the news clips that are showing a lot of things without having to actually say them.
It's yeah.
Those have been bringing me joy.
It speaks for itself, honestly. No, there's been a lot of richness. There were so many memes coming in from the Nevada counting of the ballots that brought me so much joy. I was almost like, okay, like I'm having a good day. The day that all the memes were rolling in, I hadn't felt that much joy in like weeks. I was just cackling on my couch, like alone for like 6 hours. That's,
it just like shows how funny people are.
People really are funny. But my farewell is actually like kind of random and it is family photos. So when I was a kid growing up, my mom definitely didn't spend money on like anything, really. My mom is very much like frugal, saver.
Well,
whatever.
And because she can like make everything.
And my mom is very crafty. So one thing that my mom always invested in and spent money on was that every year she would go to this place called Olin Mills, which is where all the 90s kids in my community, it's kind of like Sears Portrait Studio. And she would buy like a year of photo shoots. So that like every quarter, at least every quarter, me and my siblings or me and my family or whatever, we would go and take a family photo. And at the time, I remember being like, this is so stupid. All of us in our denim shirts, all of us in our white shirts, all of us in our black shirts, all of us in our sailor outfits, all of us in our crushed velvet. I was like so annoyed as a kid. My mom would pick out my outfits and I would look in the mirror and I'd be like, I already know I look stupid. Okay. And my mom was like, you're wearing it. Let's put a bow on your head, whatever. Well, let me tell you, 30 years later, these photos have continued to bring me so much unending joy. Specifically, I mean, everything about the photos, but mostly my sister in the photos.
I mean, there's pictures, if they're embarrassing or not, should always be cherished because they're down the line, they're always going to be gems.
Absolutely. And so the tradition continues. My mom still has at least once a year hires a photographer. And
you graduated from Olin Mills.
Yep. That doesn't exist. We would still be there.
That's true.
Our family photographer is doing like social distance photo shoots where she'll like go to people's houses. Like you stay on your porch and then she takes photos of you like from afar. And we did our family photo shoot last weekend. It was Chris's first time ever being invited because my mom doesn't invite anyone. You have to be like in it to win it. And then you get invited into the family photo shoot. And it was hilarious. Like it was super ridiculous, super funny. My brother made cocktails before it even started.
Also, your niece and nephew are like adults.
They're adults. And I've always wondered like how these photographers get children to laugh and smile. And I realized that this woman
killed me.
She literally is a genius. Her name is Kristen. She's a longtime family friend. She holds a stuffed animal over her camera and pretends it has diarrhea. She's like, oh no, the bunny has diarrhea. And then the kids just start laughing because like all kids think poop is so funny. And they were cracking up. They were like cackling, especially my niece who never cracks a smile because she is a serious gal.
Well, the pictures
so anyways,
I saw
I'm grateful
of
for
her,
family photos.
The pictures I saw of her were so ridiculous because I just think of her as being like a toddler that can't talk. And now she's like,
It's crazy.
A little young lady.
I know. So I'm grateful for family photos. Any of you guys listening who are super annoyed that your parents force you into these like ridiculous scenarios, I'm telling you to embrace them right now because they're going to bring you free entertainment for the rest of your entire life.
True.
So just embrace it. And I guess with that, the show is over, but we got to remind people yet again that we want to have you on the show. So please call us, leave us a voicemail 3 minutes or less at 562-661-8729.
Complain away.
Yeah, please share your heart, souls,
safe space.
It is. But you guys, thank you for listening. I know that you're celebrating Thanksgiving probably if you're living in America. And who am I? I'm going to be at someone's Thanksgiving, probably my mom's house. And have a great holiday, guys.